The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. I got distracted by the whole Love Connection thing. SiriusXM channel 158, of course. It's Gil Alexander, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Still to come, Steve Fezzik and Chris Lika, the Bear from Fox Sports, standing by. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jamie Leva, hearing that a young, sleeveless Steve Fezzik was on a Love Connection has got me in tears. I can't stop laughing. I'll be back in 2-2. That was, of course, Chuck Woolery's little tagline. Carter Wilcher, I can't wait to hear all about this. Carter Wilcher. Mike Hall is on Fox now and was recently married to a Real Housewife of Atlanta. Not any longer. How do I know this? My wife. Carter, I think you're not thinking of Mike Hall. I think you're thinking of Mike Hill. That one little letter is a big difference. Not Mike Hall. Not Mike Hill, rather. It's Mike Hall that we're referring to, who was on Dream Job, who got the job at Fox Sports. Mike Hill used to be on ESPN. Now he's on Fox. And yes, he was married to a Real Housewife of Atlanta. Charles in Connecticut, not that anyone cares because no one knows who I am. We care, Charles. He says, but I was on the ESPN Super Bowl of Sports Trivia hosted by Chris Berman in 1988. It was modeled after that old high school quiz show, my 15 seconds of fame. Good for you. By the way, Todd Wright, one of our regular guests here on A Numbers Game, I believe was on Remote Control. Remember the old MTV show, Remote Control, with, was it Ken Ober? He was on that. And we can't find the footage. We've been trying to find the footage of that for years. We can't find it. Master of Puppets. Oh, this is very nice of Master of Puppets. He says, hey, Gil, let Rob know. That was Rob was the listener who tweeted in, hey, Jason's my man. Can Jason give me a college basketball future? He said, Rob, he wants Rob to know that he's got Florida at 9-1 and Houston at 7-1, just trying to help out our gambling friends, he said. Well, that's very nice of you. I would have said I have Alabama at 18-1, which I do, but he was asking Jason specifically, so... and then Harold Irving off the Jason Weingarten segment said he just grabbed Sasaki 75-1 for NL Cy Young rolling with JW. That's what we're calling Jason these days. Chris Velika's in town, everybody. He's the Bear from Fox Sports, and he's in town for a little horse racing handicapping contest. And by little, I mean a big one. We'll get all the deets on that. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him again at Chris Velika, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He's got his podcast empire, the Bear Bets Pods over there at Fox. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. We're about an hour and a half away from getting going here for the it's actually a horse I like in the first race at Tampa. So very unusual firing an optional bullet early in the contest, but we're ready to roll.
Okay, now you can't give us that horse because someone might be listening that's competing.
Correct.
With you.
Exactly. We don't want to give away the picks now in the era. It's funny because even on like Twitter and stuff, sometimes I like to fire some horses out, but like over the next couple of days, I really can't just because people need game theory and stuff. But 800 people, a live winner gets $825,000. And just basically the object is today and tomorrow, you have 34 mythical wagers where you get win place money. There are 14 mandatory races over the next 2 days, 20 optional races over the next 2 days. And the object is just build up your bankroll, and you need to be in the top 10% after Saturday. And then on Sunday you wind up playing for cash.
Man, I was just telling you off air. I have a good feeling. We were hanging out yesterday. I have a good feeling about you this year. This is.
Yeah, I feel good. I thanks. I feel good because before I bet with you and Chrissy last night, I handicapped three tracks when I got back, and I think I got myself in a good spot where I have a workable number of optional races to choose from, and then there are the mandatory, so we'll await the scratches and see where I stand after that.
Let's go. Let's get it done. $825,000 would be very nice. By the way, we neglected to mention the name of the handicapping contest is
the NHC 25 National Handicapping Championship,
which you're here for every year, right? Pretty much.
You have to qualify every year. I didn't qualify in 2020, so I'm going to blame the COVID year on me.
Okay.
Not qualifying for the handicap, but yeah, you have to qualify throughout the year. You can't buy your way in. You actually have to either win a qualifier or place in a qualifier to get here. So yeah, more years than not, I am here.
And we haven't figured out if our own Mike Somich is in the contest yet.
I forgot to look. I would assume he is.
Okay.
He's a regular, so I would think that he is.
All right. If so, good luck to the both of you, as
Thank
they say.
You.
Okay, let's go to college basketball. 38 games, college basketball. Hopefully, well, if you weren't doing the contest, you could hang out with us and watch, but you're in the, you're
I know,
in the midst
later,
of the contest.
Tonight, hopefully.
Tonight, hopefully. The Riverside got bounced in the Big West, so I don't know if we're headed there anymore. All right, you have a couple college basketball plays, specifically in the Mountain West and the Big Ten. What do you got?
Yeah, I took UCLA plus the one against Wisconsin. I like UCLA, and I think they are a team that's live to win this league, and I think they're, depending on their seed, they're a live team that were live to make a deep run in the tournament. I like the way they play defense. They're deep. They're healthy now. I mean, I like the Bruins against Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin kind of peaked a couple of weeks ago. So I took one with UCLA, and then I took a point in the Mountain West here with Boise against New Mexico. Boise really wasn't great yesterday, but they got by New Mexico. I think it's a team that really needs home court, and they got by yesterday as well. But I think Boise, with Diggenhardt and some of the perimeter players that they have, I think they can give New Mexico some problems. In fact, I'm getting 2 points now. Perfect. But in fact, you got the one seed here, only a 2 point favorite over Boise, team that right now isn't in the field. I think that's telling, and I think Boise's the right side.
Chris just mentioned that we were hanging out with my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, our mutual friend, yesterday. And at the South Point, before college football season and oftentimes before the tournament in college basketball, they put out these big props, one giant prop. So before the college football season, they give you a bucket of they give you three buckets of teams, I believe, sort of. Maybe I'm botching that. But at the beginning of March Madness, they do some creative props. And this year's, the creative prop is the SEC versus the field. The SEC versus the field. So whoever wins the national championship, in other words, will it come from the SEC or from any other conference, of college basketball? And so obviously the SEC, you got Bama, you got Auburn, you got Florida, you got, who am I leaving out? Tennessee. Kentucky's in there as well. And what was the price? He said he got the first bet he took was on the SEC, and it moved the SEC.
No, I thought it was the field. I thought it was a big bet on the field, and then everything since then has been SEC.
I think you're right. So the first bet was on the field. The field went up to -165, was it? And then everything else has been money on the SEC, and now it's like, what do you say, -115-ish?
120, I think.
Yeah.
120, 125. So that brought up an interesting, and I was pondering this after we were having that conversation, and I thought about, like, just general strategy for March Madness, and just kind of being maybe not contrarian, but like anti-groupthink. Like, and watching the Texas Tech game yesterday, I was just thinking, like, for all this talk about the SEC and the greatest conference ever, like, you give me Texas Tech, you give me Iowa State, BYU, the way they move the ball on offense, Houston, like, the Big 12 is a damn good conference. And I think that there's going to be, so if you're in one of these bracket pools, or you're in Survivor, or you're in like one of these pick the final four and the winner and point kind of contest that I'm in, like, if you're looking maybe to fade some of these SEC teams, maybe you fade a public team like Michigan State. A lot of people are going to be on Michigan State to reach the final four. A lot of people are going to be on St. John's to reach the final four. Like, sometimes the better move, instead of trying to pick your winner, like, try and be a little bit different in a lot of these contests and a lot of these polls, because you want to be on the opposite side of some of these really popular teams, I think, to give your chance a better chance to win. So maybe being a little anti-SEC, a little anti-St. John's, a little anti-Michigan State, as much as it pains me to be Oppo, Michigan State, and St. John's, because I love both those coaches and I love both those programs. But that might be the way to go.
And it's an interesting prop, and in your general strategy, we'll go over some bracket strategy next week on Monday. But yeah, generally, the bigger your pool, right, the more people in your pool, the more entries in your pool, the more contrarian you're incentivized to be, obviously.
McNeese State is going to be a popular upset pick. Drake is going to be a popular upset pick. So don't think you're going to be, don't think you're going to be the only one. I'm not picking McNeese State to pull that 13-4 upset away. Everyone's going to have.
Other people are watching too.
Yeah.
To baseball, you have a couple of awards. Is it awards or is it categories?
Yeah.
What do you got? You got awards.
Yeah,
bets.
Awards. I think I had some categories and some stuff I gave out last week. And like you, I was going back through and looking. I had some free play to burn through, and I wound up on a couple of more. I took Wyatt Langford to win the AL MVP at 70-1, and you look at the list there of players. Like Aaron Judge, I think, is a toss. The Royals, Bobby Witt, who knows what type of year he's going to have. Alvarez and the Astros going to Henderson's already hurt. Mike Trout, like another guy you can't really bank on him being healthy. Like Langford's a guy who I think in his second season here could be a 30-30 type guy for a team that could win the division. He could be a super breakout star. So I thought 70-1 was worth a chance on him.
What about the current 40-1? Not as juicy.
Oh no, yeah, sure. I'd still take that because I think there are holes in all these guys. Like Aaron Judge, remember a couple of years ago how like every day we were betting the will Aaron Judge walk today, and it took a while for the book to really catch on to that.
Yeah.
Like Judge, why pitch to him this year? Like there's no need to pitch to him in that lineup on that team. So I don't think he wins it because I think the Yankees are going to have a down year. And then in AL Rookie of the Year category, I took Will Wagner from Blue Jays, Billy Wagner's son. I bet him at 15-1. Guy who could play a bunch of different infield positions. A really good hitter, kind of a more, maybe not a 20-25 home run guy, but he's going to get a lot of doubles. He's going to get on base, collect a lot of hits. You could put him basically at a DH spot, a lot of infield positions as well. So Will Wagner on the Blue Jays 15-1 was my other awards player.
All right, so Wyatt Langford of the Rangers for MVP, and then Will Wagner for American League Rookie of the Year, he of the Toronto Blue Jays. Your two awards plays from Chris, in addition to his two college basketball plays. Again, he's on Boise State catching the point versus New Mexico in the Mountain West. UCLA also catching a point versus Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament. That old Big Ten rivalry, UCLA versus Wisconsin.
Exactly. Some great Rose Bowls. By the way, good luck to you and Iga today, reaching her first final since Roland Garros last night. I love you, brother.
Shots fired. Chris Malika, everybody. Fezzik on the other side next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Felica with the tried and true take a shot as the commercial comes so I can't respond to his attacks. Eliminate all the fake handicappers who are pitching fake records. Juice Reel is bringing transparency to the picks marketplace. All Juice Reel betting accounts are synced and with the betting history directly from the sportsbook, so no hiding those bad records. Juice Reel ranks every bettor based on their actual betting record. Sharp bettors can even get paid when others follow their picks. Check it out for yourself. Download the Juice Reel app. Use promo code Let's Go. There's a promo code for you. Let's go. And receive $25 in free app currency that you can use to check out what the best handicappers on Juice Reel are betting. It's free in the App Store. Juice Reel. That's JUICEREEL. Download Juice Reel today. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, he is kind enough to join us for not one segment, not two, but even three, for God's sakes. He's the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, and boy, did we learn something about him this morning, which I cannot wait to get into. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody. How you doing, man?
I am excellent. Intro music?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Fezzik Fridays.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
I love that you remembered your intro music and you demand that it be played.
Well, I stepped on my music not once, but twice. And Gil admonished me.
Yes.
And he's like, Stevie, you can't talk until the music goes.
Yeah, I botched that. Good for you. Thank you for remembering. Okay, so I want to get into all that stuff. And by the way, for those who missed it, we had Mike Renner on earlier. Talking NFL draft. He was once on The Bachelorette, so we briefly talked about it. And then I get this text from Steve a little after that on the show, but while we're here on the air, and he says, oh, yeah, I was... He just casually mentions, oh, yeah, I was on Love Connection in 1993. Okay, so we have to get into this. Have you ever talked about this before?
No.
Okay, let's not get into it right now. Let's wait a segment because college basketball tips off in about 13 minutes. So let's talk about what you're betting this morning and why.
So I have basic strategy this time of year. Early start times, groggy. I'm groggy. The players are groggy. The fans are groggy. The stadium is half filled. So I love first half unders. So we have a game that goes at 8:30 Pacific time, St. Bonnie's VCU. So we're on the under in that game. That's the first start time. And I am
It's a go.
We are betting under first half under, I don't know what the current number is because I was driving in, under 61 VCU St. Bonnie's. And I also played Oregon, Michigan State first half under 66. That's a 9 a.m. start time. And of course, a game that's on everybody's radar screen, the Kennesaw State Liberty game, under. I got 65. I think the market numbers right around there. First half under 65 right now.
Can you give the rotation number since you always blast others for not giving them?
I can, Gilly. Mm-hmm. So we've got game 822 is the Liberty game. 814 is Oregon. And 806 is VCU. But these are, if you have them chronologically, they're their first three games chronologically. And they're high up on the top of the betting board as well.
Did you have a fourth or you decided you didn't want to do it?
I'm going to go with those three. The fourth would be Atlantic 10, St. Louis, Loyola, under 64.
Okay, let's go back to that premise, which is it's early in the morning. Body clock stuff, but it's, you know, it's super early in the morning. Gyms or the arenas are not full. People lollygag into these. and that's a theory. Is it backed up with numbers in your experience?
Yes, but we have to be careful because inevitably what happens is that these things get bet. So if you grade them against the closing number, you don't do as well as when you go ahead and bet them earlier in the betting cycle. Another thing that benefits this is a time of year, Big Dance and conference tournaments. The normal model of, like, if you have a total that's 130, you make the first half 61, the second half 69. In general, if you gun to your head, you'd want to play first half unders, second half overs, because teams will oftentimes foul to the bitter end. They'll extend the game. You'll get some higher scoring second halves, but the first halves, teams tend to play a little bit tighter and more careful.
Okay. And the first of these games is the St. Bonaventure game, you said.
Yeah, St. Bonnie's VCU.
VCU, which tips off in 11 minutes, at least by the clock, but you get the idea. It'll be here soon. So the under in that one. You said you got 62. I ended up with 61.5. Not quite as favorable, but okay. Let's play it. Let's do it.
Go.
Let's go. So three plays there early from Stevie. The other thing that we get this time of year in college basketball is, and this is, let me just, I have to preface this by saying, because I sort of alluded to it earlier, it's a pet peeve of mine. I don't talk about it much because if I do talk about it, it sounds like I'm going after people. Right. And unlike you, Stevie, I don't really enjoy going after people like as much as you do on Twitter. And we know how you are on Twitter. That's a whole other story.
That's my evil twin.
Yeah, that's right. But the pet peeve is because, like, when I do tennis tournaments, and this, by the way, Indian Wells was a little bit of an exception because but it's not all outrights. I only have one outright, right, on the men's and the women's side. I did do quarter bets. It's actually more outrights than I usually have, but they're not all outrights to win the tournaments. They're quarters, so it's not the same markets. But typically, and whenever I'm doing a tennis tournament, I will always have outrights confined to one play, right? And you get a cottage industry of folks who, March Madness is a great example to bring this up. I don't love talking about it, but I know you hate this, where they have a million outrights. A million might be an exaggeration, but you get the idea.
Yeah, because it's fun. It's great content. It's like going 1990s movie reference, Running Man. So Richard Dawson is Killian. He's the evil guy. And it's like at some point I'm listening to all these shows and these content providers that are like Killian. And it's wildly entertaining. But I almost feel like I want to put like Schwarzenegger does, a big sign. Killian is lying to you. No one is winning playing these 4-1s, 8-1s, 14-1s. Famously, Gilly, you have your formula that says only four teams, 3.5 if you count Iowa State,
right?
Yeah. Can win the national championship. So suddenly, and on our group text, Todd and I are fighting, and I'm like, VCU, Todd, is not winning the national championship. And he's like, oh, you just earn off of it down the road. Yeah. If they make like the Sweet 16, you can win like 30% by playing back the other guys on the favorites. Otherwise, and if they don't make it, you lose your unit. It's just such a terrible wager. The sports books have huge vig, and guess where all that vig is backed into? It's not the favorites that are terrible odds. It's these dogs that should be paying. Famously, well, there's one year Michigan State made the final, the finals. And if you played the mechanical parlay, it would have paid 150-1. They, lost because they lost in the finals, I think, to Florida. But they were like 50-1. And people were tweeting, I got Sparty 50-1. It's like, you got short paid. You should have, if you had just played them to make the Final Four, you'd get almost the same.
Yeah, it's, and it's just simple math of, let's say you do hit one. Let's say you have 15 different futures. And by the way, we know people who do have like tons of futures. You know, okay, let's say you hit an 18-1. You don't, like, the fact that you would take a victory lap on that is just is mathematically incorrect, right?
Exactly. Now, yeah. Let me back up and be fair. There are people like, if you grabbed Iowa State back in November before everyone knew how good they
and
were.
And the number is huge.
You're getting right. 90-1 on whatever
That's
it was.
That's a different story.
On a number two seed. Yeah. Totally different. We're talking today. Betting futures today. You won't win. You will not win following the sharpest people in the world because, you know what? The market demands it. They're asking for it. And so they give it out. It's content.
Yeah. Again, for me, it's a little awkward because it always sounds like it, when someone brings it up, if they don't like you and they think you're going after someone, they'll tell you, oh, he's going after me. I'm not going after people. I'm just saying as a rule, there's way too much of that.
And look at Connecticut, you know, that dominant run. If you bet Connecticut 4-1, that actually turned out to be a great bet. So think about how terrible all the other teams were to bet.
Yeah.
Because Connecticut's like laying 8, laying 10 against all these teams, you know, -325, you know, no big favorite in the last, you know, 4 games.
Yeah, and the point of that formula, again, the college basketball formula, the point of it is that, yes, March Madness, and this is what gets played up, right? What gets played up in the media, and the reason we all love March Madness so much, and we love conference tournaments because we like to see, right, Delaware flirt with stealing a bid as a 12-19. But when March Madness comes and we have the bracket, all you hear about are the upsets. Oh, will a 12 beat a 5? Will a 13 beat a 4? Oh, my God, a 16-1. I know you know that very well. Will 16-1, you know, historically, these only happened twice now. Will those things happen? And yes, okay, in round one and round two, these things do happen. Obviously, round two, 8s will beat 1s and that kind of thing. So the upsets get all the hype. But once you get to the business end of the tournament,
once you strike midnight, Cinderella has left the ball.
The formula tells you that. It's like, no, these are the only teams that ever win it.
Yes.
With the exception of the
Connecticut. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Ollie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know the story. So, I mean, but that's the thing. And so that's why, and I know that bothers you because you hear so much of that. And you're right. It's a lot of that is driven by the fact that we have to fill, not we, but all folks fill content. And it makes for interesting conversation.
Wildly entertaining.
But if it's not really realistic,
it's good for filling out brackets. It's fun to, you know, fill out brackets and who's going to get to the final.
Oh, brackets
four
are a different
like
story
that.
Because and some brackets are upset rewarded. So
and you
get
a million people in those brackets too.
And you should be picking upsets in brackets. But we're just talking about the outrights itself, the team that lands at the top of the hill. Right. And totally different story. You said we should probably say that. If you're getting 90-1s and 80-1s, like Jim Root has tickets where they're massive inflated numbers, that's a different story.
Absolutely.
That's a different story. All right, we'll get back because Steve has one more pet peeve, which he alluded to there briefly, which has to do with some other gambling cottage industry that is promoted in content that you don't love either, which should burst the bubble for some on that. We'll get to that. But Love Connection 1993. You've never told this story before. This is amazing. You've never told it before?
Yeah, I won on Love Connection.
You won?
Yeah, I won.
And you had a date.
Yes.
All right, we got to find out all about this. I have so many questions. Steve Fezzik, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, once again, VSiN is free. I'm telling you, don't cost you nothing. Free. Until Selection Sunday, that's this Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and enjoy full VSiN Pro access instantly, including daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video with full access to the VSiN Watch app, full VSiN.com access, including expert analysis, trends, and pro betting systems. Don't miss out on this free VSiN Pro preview. Get the insights you need to bet the tournament smarter. No cost, no commitment. Sign up now, VSiN.com/champweek and enjoy free access through March 16th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Carl Cope, add me to the list of Super Bowl of sports trivia alums. Hey, how about that? We got a lot of listeners spin on stuff. Did the second season in 1989 while a student at Penn State, all before Jeopardy. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And one quiz show set at one of Donald Trump's casinos. A degenerative game show guy I am. Trip Tepper, to add to the Numbers Game rando reality TV theme today, I was on ESPN Stump the Schwab in 2005. Oh, the great Howie Schwab, may rest in peace. While in graduate school, I didn't win, but just making the show was an accomplishment since the vetting process by ESPN was rigorous. Tom Mass tells us no Somich NHC, by the way. Clarification, Mike Somich, not in the horse racing contest. The James Lloyd, thank God for VSiN. The worldwide leader has been talking about the same thing for at least 30 minutes. You definitely have the best gig. No doubt. Margin Call. Love Connection. Fez, this is great. Oh, yeah. And Mr. Postman 619 says, Gil, you missed the opportunity to say we'll be back in 2-2. Oh, I was getting to that. But we got to have the conversation first. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, Twitter menace, and all-around, helpful guy on the radio here, giving us great gambling talk each and every week here on the show and on other parts of the network, casually text when Mike Renner, because Stevie can't let Mike Renner have all the attention. So he's like, oh, by the way, I was on Love Connection in 1993. Let's go back to the beginning. How old were you and how did this happen?
So it's 93. My goodness, I'm gotten old. I'm 30. My buddy Dan, professional bettor in Huntington Beach, talked me into filling out the questionnaire. He wanted to be on. So we filled out the questionnaire at some local casino and they picked me. So
what's on the questionnaire?
What celebrity do you most look like? I want Alec Baldwin. Thank goodness he got fat, so it was more appropriate.
Okay, you went Alec Baldwin, so they're yeah. Like, you're in.
Apparently so. And then Chuck Woolery hates me. I'm talking about Jeopardy and Basic Strategy and Final Jeopardy.
This is while you're on the show.
I'm on the show with Chuck Woolery after I'm picked, and I can tell Chuck is like, this guy thinks he looks like Alec Baldwin. He's talking about Jeopardy. How do we let this guy on my show?
What do you say about Jeopardy?
That the geniuses are dummies when it goes to Final Jeopardy. They have no idea what to wager. And famously, Jeopardy James, 20 years later, came up with the strategy. And I said, yeah, everyone knows this. And people are like, oh, Fezzik, the great aggregator. You didn't know about this. I was like, hey, I talked about a Love Connection in 1993.
Did you call them dumbos by any chance at the time?
I think I didn't use dumbo, that term, back in 93.
So Chuck Woolery hates you.
Hates
as you're doing
me. And
this
is going south big time.
Okay. He seemed real pleasant, by the way. All right. And so remind everybody the format of Love Connection. So were you pumped to go on the show? Were you excited?
Yeah, it was fun, but I'm nervous. I'm like, am I going to be a Dumbo? And so I get to pick one of the three bachelorettes, whatever. So I pick one. And a miracle of miracles. I got to give credit to the pool of people they have because they're trying to match people that you may be able to make a connection. The gal I pick actually likes me.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, I know.
What was her name again?
Karen Eskegian in Los Angeles. And she was a cutie. And I'm like, ugh. I'm out kicking my coverage. This is going to be a disaster. And we just hit it off really well. And
so you go on a date.
And we have a great date. Yeah.
Where'd you go?
So we just went to it might have been the Santa Monica. It's been so many years, okay? But like that walking area in Santa Monica. It's
the
in
pier,
West L.A.
The pier? The Santa Monica pier?
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Oh, you're talking about the promenade.
Yeah, it's very casual, our date and the like. And then we went back. I was living in South Pasadena. And we came back and nothing happened. But we had a good time. And so I showed her my place in South Pasadena. And Chuck Woolery says, show her
your
sketches.
Your place, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. So she comes out after. Woolery's ready to throw me under the bus.
Yeah.
And she's like, I really liked Steve, and Woolery's got this look on his face like, what's wrong with this girl?
So you have the one date and that was it?
No, we went out like three times and it was just an example. It's so hard to find someone that's a good partner because what the kiss of death was, I met up with her friends who were ultra liberal, you know, and I'm like a conservative Midwestern guy, and it was just too much of a culture clash.
I see.
Between us because of that. But she's great. Yeah.
Okay, so but Woolery never uttered the word, so I guess we don't have a connection here. Because he couldn't say that, because have a connection.
There was a connection.
Yeah,
so he couldn't say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, here's the real question, Steve.
I won.
You won.
I won.
But it's such a weird show, because you won, in quotes. You don't win anything, right?
Gave you $50 for the date or something.
Yeah. You won her affection for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
So, is there footage of this anywhere?
You know, it was
We've got to find this.
I'm going to put out a bounty, right? It's like McCracken and Slapshot. I'm putting out a $100 bounty. Anyone who can find it was August plus or minus a month of 1993. My real name's Steve Fenech, Karen Eskegian. If you can find a clip of this, all right, if you can find the show, I will give you $300. That was the bounty and Slapshot. If you can provide me you remember that when he put the bounty on McCracken, yes.
$300. We're trying to find Todd Wright on remote control, but more importantly, we're trying to find Fezzik on Love Connection in 1993. This is gold, Jerry. This would be gold. Oh my God. How do I? How have we never stumbled on this before.
It's been so long, you know, I'd forgotten about it, basically.
A young Steve Fezzik. Were you dressed properly? I joked that you were sleeveless when you were on there.
I probably was wearing a Treasure Island sweatshirt. I probably wasn't dressed properly and the like. And I, like I said, I don't even remember where the date was. I just remember, you know, that you know, I remember I just moved into my place in South Pasadena. So maybe it was July of 1993, and I had boxes everywhere. I didn't, like I didn't even have a proper, you know, abode.
Does the wife know about this?
No.
She doesn't know?
Yeah.
No, keep it
quiet.
Keep
that in the queue.
Yeah. She kind of tunes in, says things about the buttons on my shirt, so maybe she's just hearing this.
Yeah, so she'd love, but by the way, so she's always like, got to tell your friend Gilly, like, don't be showing the cleavage.
It's the shirt, where the button lies. Wait, so she doesn't know this? You've never told her this before?
No.
What would she think about this? Would she think you're a big dork for being on this?
Yeah, because she's a very private person. She's like, what are you doing?
Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Did you and Karen Askejian keep in touch, or that was that? A couple dates and then done.
We did not keep in touch, but it was as good a parting as you will ever. That's the great thing. You only go out three or four times. You never, it's no breakup. It was just a great gal.
I feel compelled to ask you, were you on, because this is the time to know, I don't want to find something out later. Were you on any other game shows ever?
That's the only one. Other than in fourth grade, I was on in Dayton, Ohio. There was the Duffy the Dog show. As a Cub Scout.
Okay. Steve Fezzik, Love Connection.
Clubhouse 22.
Oh, man. This is fan. We got to find this. 300. You care? You want to up that that bonus? Or that?
No,
that 300
is the number in Slapshot, and I'm not going to inflation adjust it.
Okay. Somebody, please find this. All right. The other thing that bothers you. Do we have time for this? You want to go to a different
No,
topic?
We got time.
All right. The other thing that bothers you that we hear a lot of in sports betting is?
The money line mechanical parlay. So we don't bet the Dumbo future. Instead, we'll just keep wheeling the money over. So we start with $100. We bet VCU to win the tournament. Boom. We cash at the end of the first round. We take all that money. We reinvest it all the way through. And so now instead of getting paid 100-1, we'll get paid 200-1 or whatever it is. All right. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with the mechanical parlay is Kelly Criterion. So for serious bettors, Kelly Criterion demands I'm only supposed to be betting like 1% to 3% of my bankroll on any one play. Right. So that's great when I start out with the one unit. But by the time my team makes the Elite Eight, and now I got 10 units in my pocket. I'm not betting 10 units on a plus 200 money line.
I'm so glad you're talking about this. I'm so glad you're saying this, because this is, you know, there's a cottage industry of folks who love, and sometimes they're being sincere, but there is another group who, like, they want to sound smarter than you. So like, oh, well, instead of playing your future, I could have done this. By the way, we had one with Belinda Bencic here in the tennis tournament. She didn't get there. She got one match short, sadly. But, you know, you could have gotten 11-1 instead of 6-1 right in the end if you had moneyline parlayed it, right?
Yes.
This mechanical parlay. There's also, by the way, another pitfall to this that we never bring up, which is really a simple human thing. Some people want to bet it, and then they just want to forget about it. Most people aren't going to remember. Like my buddy Tommy in D.C., he's not going to remember to bet it every round.
And that's a great point. And I talked to Stormy about this. I am not the betting police. If you want to bet $10 or $15 on the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series every year, it's fine, you know? So absolutely. Go ahead. And it's recreation. You're not trying to win. You're just having fun. And there's nothing wrong with having fun, considering you can spend $10,000 for a booth right here at Circa next Friday. I will not be spending the $10,000 myself, but that's what the market price is for a booth for one day.
I'm so glad you said it, because there's theory, right? We can sit here on a weekday morning and talk about theory, but then there's reality and actual practice. And you're right. When you get to the quarters and you have that pile of money, theoretically, then you're actually making a bet with that pile of money. And that's a different story.
And the truth is, you're going to take your 2% of bankroll. You're going to take the rest of that money and stuff it in your pockets and bet whatever Wishnev tells you to bet live. And you're going to take 2% and bet.
More Fez on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're probably not great at betting every sport. Who is, after all? Let Rithm help. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you this March? Rithm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasonal bettor or looking for an edge on those 300-plus college teams, Rithm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Start your free 7-day trial today by downloading the app or visiting Rithm.com. Free 7-day trial once again at rhythm.com, R-I-T-H-M-M.com, not your traditional spelling, R-I-T-H-M-M.com. Predict, play, dominate. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book, always appreciated. So many tweets there, including some listener questions, by the way, for you, Fez. Brian Grierson. This is absolute gold. Is there any way to track down this brave woman and get her side of the story and her recollection of the biggest date night in VSiN history? That is a great point. What would Kathy, what's her last name?
Karen Eskegin.
Karen Eskegin. What would she say about all this? Drew from Boise. Gil, game show listener trivia. I was part of youngest couple on primetime dating game winning Bachelor number 3 as a college freshman in 1974. Oh, he's on the dating game. Hey, Jim Lang. I used to work in a studio next to Jim Lang in San Francisco.
Really?
What a nice man he was.
Farrah Fawcett was on the dating game. She looked fantastic.
Wait, seriously? She was on?
Yes.
Farrah Fawcett was the first person that made me feel funny. You know what I mean? I really identify the feeling. Cancer-free from stage 4 NHL since May 2nd. Congratulations to you, sir. Says, I did Super Bowl of Sports Trivia in 1989. Won 2 shows and lost in the semis. Hardest part was taping the show in Oxnard in July. Not exactly football weather. Was also on Sports on Tap in 95, Sports Geniuses in 2000, hosted by the MLB Network's Matty V, Matty Vasgersian. I have copies of all. Good for you. Nemesis Enforcer, Fez rises to the top of my list, making Woolery's bad side. Number 1, Get the Money Racing. Someone has to find this Love Connection episode of Fezzik. What an incredible segment. Dying laughing. Joe C, Steve ghosted me on my DM to him. Please vouch for me and let him know I'm good people, Gil. LOL. Joe C, great guy, by the way. Don't
send him my phone number.
Oh, phone number, okay.
Yep.
Mark Francis, Gil, hilarious story about Fez on Love Connection. Please do remind the listeners that Rodney Alcala made it on the dating game. Is that a reference to something? I might have missed that. And Natrone Betts, not Natrone Means, but Natrone Betts. The flip side of this mechanical rollover parlay is I was able to bank some of the Benchich profits before the loss to Keys. There's pros and cons for sure. Yeah, but that goes against the initial premise of why you're doing it. So you're right, but that doesn't make it, that doesn't justify the initial then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then Rich PSM. I was also on Love Connection 1985. I was picked. They gave us $100. We agreed, in quotes, to continue, but Chuck, RIP, kept saying, "Are you sure?" laughing. It fizzled out. She was geographically undesirable in his case. All right, we have a listener question. Somebody asked yesterday, because you famously, I think you texted in yesterday, and you said you are laying the money line on Duke. How did you feel when Cooper Flagg went out and Duke was struggling?
I was thinking my spot would be canceled. So famously, I lost $80,000 betting Purdue as a 23-point favorite. And really, it's interesting because 23 is like the magic number where you rise above a 99% chance of winning. And so I didn't have a lot of Duke yesterday, but I laid minus 4,500. But I haven't lost a big one since then. So it's been 2 years. So things are working out. And it really isn't so much the number one seeds, which famously are 156 and 2 in the first round. But I'm not going to bet a number one seed on the money line if they're only laying 19. They got to be laying 23 or more.
Frankie Vegas has a question. Love the show. Thanks. Could you ask Fez to explain the proper formula? He asked this earlier. When laddering bets, props, he says, please have him use light math. I failed second semester of calculus.
Yeah, so what's going on with this ladder? As most of you know, of course, it's like when you bet some dude to have over 5.5 pass receptions. Hey, let's play over 6.5 plus 130, over 7.5 plus 175, over 9.5 plus 240, and just ladder a whole bunch of bets, okay? So this is very complicated stuff. I believe to do this correctly, you're supposed to use like a Poisson distribution. I'm not even sure if that's the case, but in general, the people that are serious about that, they don't just blindly ladder it. They know how much each reception is worth. and they try to find the one that's optimal and bet the most on that, but they'll bet a little bit, they'll bet less on the other ones. But the whole concept, if you're directionally right, you're obviously going to make money, and you can make a lot of money if you're really right.
Hope that helps, Frankie Vegas. Real quick, our G-Bank best bets of the day, because I want to talk to Fez about a couple more things. G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. I have added another baseball bet. I am on the Twins was the monthly, March, April. I added the New York Mets race to 10 wins at 17-1 this morning. The New York Metropolitans race to 10 wins, 17-1. So I have a monthly, March, April on the Twins, and now even shorter of a runway, 10 wins for the New York Mets. That would be lovely to thread the needle on both, now wouldn't it? Again, the Mets got the Marlins for sixth and the A's in there as well in that opening stretch.
Now, the fascinating thing about the Mets bet is you talk about they had three against the Astros, I believe, to start the year.
Yes.
And you're saying, one and two maybe, but then the cupcake schedule. The interesting thing is you really need them to go 2-1 against the Astros, because if they do start 1-2, boy, they're going to have to run the table then.
Well, there's a table to be run.
They could go 3-0 against the
Astros.
I
was doing a worst case.
Yeah.
Paul Carr, Nottingham Forest tomorrow at Ipswich Town. He's taking Nottingham Forest at -105. And then on Sunday, Arsenal-Chelsea under 2.5 goals. Leicester City, Man U over 2.5 goals. Premier League picks from Paul Carr. Christopher Felica. He had a couple college basketball bets and then a couple season longs in Major League Baseball. He is on both UCLA and Boise State, each catching a point in respective games in the Big Ten and the Mountain West today. UCLA getting a point versus Wisconsin, Boise State getting a point versus New Mexico, and then two season longs in Major League Baseball. Wyatt Langford to win AL MVP at 70-1. Will Wagner to win the American League Rookie of the Year at 15-1. And then Fezzik gave us some first half unders in college hoops. We left off the one that's already started, the St. Bonnie's game. I don't know what kind of start you're out there. We'll have to check the score. Oregon, Michigan State, first half under 66.5. And then Kennesaw State and Liberty, first half under 66 from Fezzik. Once again, G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. Every show, every host, every guest, all their picks recapped at the end of every show here at VEASAN. And don't forget, with G-Bank, of course, always offering amazing things, including upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VEASAN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. By the way, update to the Players' Championship. Moments ago when I looked, Rory McIlroy had shot 5-under on the on his first nine. It's not the front nine. He started on the back nine, but 5-under to go to 10-under for the tournament, second round of the Players' Championship, and he had the lead momentarily. But now Minwoo Lee is your leader. Minwoo Lee is 7-under through 14 today, 12-under for the tournament. These guys are shooting a cartoon score at this point. Minwoo Lee at 12-under, still playing his round. Rory's one back at 11-under. He's through 12. And J.J. Spaun, a co-leader in the first round, he's two back at 10-under. He's through 14. So those guys are really setting the mark. Biggest name behind that group, Colin Morikawa, right now in fifth at 7-under, five back of the lead.
And a VCU update, we are pretty close to on pace. We're 1 point faster than I would like. It's the last I checked, I'm 45 seconds behind. 16-13, a little more than 10 minutes left, but only 3 and 4 fouls, which is very favorable.
Yes.
If you're going to bet live, you need to know the fouls on each team. And so when you're 10 minutes into a first half and you see only, you know, 3 and 4 fouls on each team, that's very favorable to the under.
It's all about the fouls, which is why I know guys who bet half times and I'm like, you're missing the point on the fouls.
And you really should, if you're betting side, you really should know the possession arrow. It's actually worth half a point to have the possession arrow, and no one even like pays attention to it. But I can tell you the most serious bettors do.
All right, real quick, rapid fire. The importance of exchanges at this time of year.
Yeah, whenever there's tons of liquidity in the market, and this is going to happen with March Madness, you're going to be able to bet like -102 at ProfitX or some of these other exchanges like SportTrade, etc. So laying -110, you're not going to win laying -110. I don't care if you've got the best experts in the world. If you're laying -110 the day of the game on March Madness Big Dance and you're making your biggest bets of the year, you're making a huge mistake. However, if you like a side and you're betting -101, Think about this. If you can pick 50.5%, you got the edge.
And generally speaking, Big Dance lines are efficient, but something like the NIT is less efficient.
Yeah, so the pros that I know are betting way more on select NIT sides and totals. Because think about this. Every team is ultra-motivated in the Big Dance, not so much in the NIT.
Last thing before we go, and I love, you say this every year, I love this advice. I don't think I've ever said it on the air. You believe that people should bet like $5, $10, whatever it is, on every MLB season win total. Why?
Yeah, not just MLB, but football also, college football. Bet $10 over under on every single team. Why? Because this will anchor your knowledge of each and every team, and you will learn about that team more than any other team you could ever imagine, because you've got skin in the game, so you're paying attention every night to each and every final score.
Or whatever amount of money it requires you to pay attention to it. That's for sure. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. That's
awesome.
Thank you, Gilly. Love Connection's finest, Stevie Fezzik. Stormy's next on Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN.